The first lesson for today is from the sixth chapter of John. When Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, got into a boat, and started across the lake to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The lake became rough because of a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 to 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the lake and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land towards which they were going.
The second lesson for today is from the third chapter of Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, I feel more like pulling up the chair and just having a little family conversation rather than preaching. So we'll just see how it goes. As I was preparing for today, I was thinking a lot about timing. And I was contemplating the fact that it was right at a year ago that I first got to know this congregation. As you may remember, last July, right after Reverend Nicole announced that she would be leaving, I spent 3 weeks with you. And we talked about the Christian practice of discernment. We talked about discernment as being a way of walking with God where we become closer with God, and through that closeness, being able to better hear how the Spirit is calling us in our lives, both as individuals and as a community. So, a year ago, we started with a conversation about discernment. Here we are a year later, moving into a new phase of discernment for this congregation, as Reverend Williams is about to begin. Now, I don't know Reverend Williams, but he was here 2 or 3 Sundays ago now, and I love that you put sermons up, so I've been eavesdropping on your worship and listened to his sermon. And it sounds like he's a fantastic match for this community at this time. So I'm curious about the timing. I'm curious why he is being called to this place at this time. And I'm curious about the past year that you have been through as a community, pastorless in a way. Timing is a tricky thing. In my own spiritual discernment work, in my own journey with God, I've oftentimes been very suspect when people say, "Oh, it's God's timing." And there's a few reasons for that. I think sometimes we Christians use that idea of God's timing as kind of a cop-out. So I'll say for myself, as a person who entered seminary and spent the first part of her ministry pursuing ministry in the Presbyterian Church and not finding a welcome in the Presbyterian Church, I got pretty tired of people saying, it'll happen, but it needs to be in God's time. That just didn't really make a lot of sense to me. It felt like the church was not doing the hard work that the church needed to do. I've also been really suspect in people talking about God's timing. When there's a tragedy that happens, I think sometimes that idea of God's timing can be deeply comforting for us when a tragedy happens, but sometimes we're too quick to just say, oh, that's God's timing, and let go of the pain that is there. To say, for instance, that it is just God's timing when a child dies, or when a parent becomes ill, or when some kind of tragedy happens in our world. That just doesn't work for me, because I don't believe that God is a puppet master pulling strings behind the scenes. So I get nervous when people talk about God's timing. And yet, there are moments in my own journey that I can't deny the hand of God in the timing of what happens. And what I have noticed over the years of my journey with Christ is that the timing oftentimes has this ebb and flow to it. So I'll go through a period where I feel stuck, or where things are very difficult, or I am trying to listen to God, but I can't hear anything. And it's as if everything is kind of pulling back, and then all of a sudden, the Spirit will rush in, and whoosh, there's this flow, and things happen in a way that is beyond anything I could have comprehended. So I'm curious about that timing. I'm curious why it happens, and I'm curious about when it happens. I noticed that timing in the gospel lesson today. I love these stories about Jesus on the water and calming the storms, because again, they tend to go very well with what happens in life. But this particular story shows up in three of the four Gospels, the story of Jesus walking on water. And in each of the Gospels, it has a little different feel to it. It consistently comes after the feeding of the 5,000. It always starts with Jesus stepping away from the disciples and the crowds to have a time of prayer on the mountain alone with God. And then it always involves the disciples going out and the storm starting to rage, and then Jesus walking out towards them. In the Markan version, which is the oldest of the Gospels, Jesus walks out on water and gets into the boat, and what happens is then immediately the storm calms itself. It's as if Jesus himself has control over the waves and the wind and the water and the elements of creation. In Matthew, the emphasis is much more on faith, because that's the one where Peter climbs out of the boat and starts to walk out to Jesus, and then all of a sudden begins to sink when he gets scared. And Jesus is almost a little chiding once he gets into the boat and saying, oh, you of little faith, which doesn't ever feel very good. But he has this moment where the story really focuses on the faith of the disciples. But here in John, the energy of the story is much more on Jesus himself. And what I notice is that Jesus comes walking across the water, and finally, when he gets into the boat, immediately they arrive. Immediately they come to the other side of the shore. It's as if time itself is somehow being bent or altered or changed, as if God's time is intersecting with human time, with nature's time, in a way that they couldn't have anticipated. As I said, my own experience of the ebb and flow of God's time, it's cyclical. It's come up multiple times in my own life. But honestly, the most profound experience of that I have had, and forgive me if I've already shared this story with you, but it was in the process of coming here to Wisconsin. I was very much in that pullback ebb flow in life. I had been at my prior call for 5 years and was really feeling like it was time to move on, and I was done there. I felt myself losing energy for the work and ministry there, which is never a good sign. We had spent quite a number of years in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is a beautiful place, but not a super great place to get ahead in the world as we were building our family. But most of all, we were in a holding pattern waiting for our son. We had been certified as foster parents, and we were waiting for a child to be placed with us and had been through ups and downs of possible matches that hadn't happened. And I remember it was February, and I was meeting with my spiritual director, a spiritual mentor that I worked with there in San Francisco, and I said, I feel completely stuck right now. There is nothing that seems to be quite right, and there's nothing that I can do about it but wait for something to shift. And the one thing I feel clear about is that I think when one thing shifts, everything's going to shift really quickly. So I had applied that January to my position here at Carroll, really just on a whim. I did not think I was going to move to Wisconsin, for goodness sake. I was more applying out of my own discernment process to see if it might be, if I wanted to stay in education, because I was working in higher ed at the time, or if I wanted to go serve a congregation. And I didn't hear anything from Carroll for a few months, and I thought, well, no biggie, that's just not the right door. It was on the day before my 36th birthday, we got a phone call about the little boy who turned out to be Ben. And at the time, I was actually at a conference in Atlanta. I flew home on my birthday because what we were told was that if this is a match, it will happen quite quickly. And within a week, Ben had moved in. And we suddenly had 11 and a half month old child in our house. 2 weeks later, no, 1 week later, Carroll called and said, are you still interested in the job? And I thought, curious timing, God, what's this about? During that first 6 weeks that we had been, I was on maternity leave, and I went through my interview process with Carroll. I came and visited Carroll the week after I went back to work, and I knew that it was a match. I knew that this was not just where God was calling me as an individual, but this is where God was calling us as a family. As a family at this moment in our journey when our son had finally come into our lives. Now, it took another 4 or 5 months to actually get here because had to get Ben out of California as a foster child and into Wisconsin as a foster child. And then it actually took a whole another year before his adoption finalized. But when everything changed, it changed so fast. And what I can see now, 2 years later, is that we needed everything to change at once. We needed our financial reality to change as parents. I needed my job to change as a parent because I couldn't keep working in the environment where I was working as a mom, I needed to be able to shift and balance my life in a new way, in a way that Carol really supports. It has been the right move for us in finding community that is the right community for our family at this time. It's been amazing to watch how God took that moment of ebb and moved it into a moment of flow. It's curious timing. And what I wonder for this congregation at this moment is, what has this past year been for you? My suspicion is that it's been a time of ebb, a time where you have needed to do some pulling back and evaluating, a time where you may have felt stuck at certain periods, a time when, while you find God in community with one another, God's voice, God's calling may have felt distant in certain ways. And now, you're walking into a new aspect of your journey, a new timing of your journey. And I can't help but wonder if this is the moment of flow for you. What is God calling this congregation to? What is the deep work that you need to do? And you need Reverend Williams to be here to do it with you. Where and how is God opening doors for your future as individuals and as a community? I don't know the answer to any of those questions. Maybe you don't yet either. But the curious timing of this moment tells me you're ready to dig into that. And that the person who will be on that journey with you is the person God has brought to you for this moment to do this work together. The translation of the gospel, actually, it showed in Matthew, Mark, and John, all three places where this gospel story shows up. In the NRSV that we read, also in a lot of other versions, Jesus shows up and says, "It is I, do not be afraid." Do you know that's actually a mistranslation? What he actually says is, "I am. Do not be afraid." Jesus walks out on the water and he says those words that the people, his disciples know are the words of God, is the name of God. I am who I am. I have been who I have been. I will be who I will be. God is our time. Always. When Christ walked out on that water, he reminded his disciples, "I am. God is here. God is in this moment and in every moment. Do not be afraid." And then suddenly they arrived where God needed them to be. As you step into this next leg of your discernment work and your journey, trust in the I am. Trust in God's presence, and don't be afraid, because you will see the miracle of God's grace moving in and among you. I'm certain of that. May it be so. Amen.